This week's shiur is once again sponsored by the Weinbat family of Ramat Beis Shemesh. We're holding, of course, now, besides for Parshas Hazinu, Shabbat Shuvah, this Shabbat, and Yisir Semei Tshuva. And since Rosh Hashanah, at least from the second day, we've been saying Avinu Malkeinu. So one of the Avinu Malkeinus I'd like to zero in on, Avinu Malkeinu Na'al Tishivenu Reka Milfanecha. You say, Avinu Malkeinu, Hashem, please, don't send us away empty. Reka means rake, empty. Don't send us away empty. You know, we've been davening, saying, you know, doing tshuva, and we're asking Hashem with all our tshuva and davening, please, don't send us away empty-handed. This is number 33 of the Avinu Malkeinu. Anybody know how many Avinu Malkeinus there are? Just one. Just one Avinu Malkeinu. No, there's actually only one God. There's actually 44, and this hit me this year. It's interesting, a little connection, but there Al Chaitz, which we'll be saying with Rat Hashem on Yom Kippur, there's also 44 Al Chaitz. There's 44 Al Chaitz and 44 Avinu Malkeinu. Anyway, so number 33 is, we said, Avinu Malkeinu, Na'al Tishivenu, please don't send us away empty. Zechora, as we're saying this, we might think to ourselves, what is that supposed to mean? Empty. Empty? I mean, what have I been doing all these days? You know, from before Rosh Hashanah, I've been saying Slichas every morning, saying Vidui, and Rosh Hashanah, we've been many hours in Shul, and now Aseres Yemei Tshuva, again, the Slichas every morning. And what? Empty? Like, what about all this Tshuva we've been doing? You know, Hashem, don't say it's empty. So, what's that supposed to mean? However, I'd like to share with you a very scary chazal that not very many people know, and puts a whole different light on these what we're saying. Chazal tell us there's seven dechios, seven things, negative things which a person might do, which pushes away good things. What are they? Let's run through it quickly. The first one is Shvua Shav. Person says a false oath. So what's Chazal says? Shvua Shav Echad Doche Mea Schuyot. A person could have 100 Schuyos in Shemayim. One Shvua Shav erases it off. Secondly, Chilul Hashem. One Chilul Hashem, says Chazal, is Doche Mea Tfilos. Person davens with all his heart, right? 100 tefillos, one act of Chilul Hashem, doche 100 tefillos. Number 3, Bizui Torah. Person acts in disrespect to the Torah, to Talmid Chacham, whatever. That's doche 100 smachos. Simchas. We all want simchas. Number 4, Nivlus Peh. Nivl Peh. Person doesn't speak nice with his, you know, says some lashon that's unclean. That's doche 100 haftachos. Hashem might have 100 promises set up for us, haftachot, all doche with one bad word. Number 5, gzela. One gzela, say Chazal, is doche 100 brachas. Hashem has brachas in store for us. 100 brachas all out the window with one gzela. Number 6, machloikas, is doche 100 parnasos. Right, Hashem sets up on Rosh Hashanah, how much a person's going to make, whatever. He said, okay, no problem. Hashem's going to give me parnassus here. I give my meiser a promise. You give meiser, you know, you get rich. Aser, kadeshit itasher. Right? No problem. What happens? One machlekes, 100 parnassus out the window. And finally, perhaps the most scary and the most relevant to our topic tonight is number 7. That one piece of Lashon Hara is doche 100 tshuvas. Here we are, as we said, since before Rosh Hashanah, with our slichas, and now Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and Yom Kippur, all the viduis, and the charata, and the Kabbalah ala asid, all out the window, 100 tshuvas out the window. Why? With one word of Lashon Hara. So thinking, perhaps, and besides that, we said, what about our tefillahs, right? We said that one Chilul Hashem is doche 100 tefillahs. So we're wondering, you know, hey, don't say, why would Hashem send me away empty? Come on, all these tefillas, all these tshuvas. So we see one act of chilul Hashem, or one word of lashon hara, can doch 100 tshuvas. We haven't been doing tshuva for 100 days yet. 100 tshuvas is docha with one word of lashon hara. So thinking that perhaps also it's meduyak here in the lashon. Of all the Avinu Malkeinu, I notice is the only one that is prefaced with the word na. All of them are Avinu Malkeinu, Achzi Reini B'Shuvah Shleima Lefanecha, give us this, do it this, whatever. This is the only one that says na. Was na, Lashon Bakasha, please. Happens to be the only negative Avinu Malkeinu also. They're all positive, give me this, give me that. He's the only one, don't send me away empty. But, I was thinking, why is this the only one? So one cute thing I was thinking of is, the one just before this, the Avinu Malkeinu just before this is Avinu Malkeinu Zachor Ki Yafar Nachnu. So see, Hashem, remember, we're just not, we're dirt. We're nothing, we're Afar Nachnu. So Mela, what do you do with dirt? Throw it away, what do you need dirt for? So therefore we have to say, no, nah, I'll touch you many rekam of Fanacha, you know, don't say it, okay, we're dirt, but you know. However, based on what we said, based on this Chazal, we can say, no, what's not, why are we saying nah to Shemini Rekam? Because we, with our own hands, are destroying everything we're doing. All the tefillas and all the tshuvas, and with our own hands, here we are speaking a word of Lashon Hara, goodbye, all these tshuvas, we're throwing it away. So therefore, we're saying, Hashem, you know, we threw it all away, please, we beg of you, nah, I'll tell you, Veinu Eikam, if I don't say, I should be really sent away empty-handed. But, so please, we're begging, don't. I mean, I did it with my own hands, I realize that it's all me. I spoke to Lashon Hara. 100 of my tshuvas are really out the window. Please, please, don't send me away empty. This idea, perhaps, let's say, Lahavdil, Elif Havdalis, the following Maisa, this idea of how a person can throw away with his own hands that which is good, his own bad midos. The story was once a Yid was in America, and he took a cab, a taxi. So, was the driver. And he tells him where he wants to go. And he asks him on the way, so says, by the way, how much is the trip? So so the guy tells him, trip's going to be $50. So he's like, $50? What are you talking about, $50? He says, it's not worth more than $25, this trip. So the guy says, no, $50, what do you mean, $50? He says, come on, we're only going a short distance, so that's $25. No. Gordon didn't want to give it. Anyway, back and forth. So it's okay. Didn't want to get involved. So finally, get to his house, to the Jew's house, and the guy says, "Okay, you know, pay me the money." So he says, "Okay, but $25." No, I told you $50. Anyways, he saw he wasn't gonna get anywhere. So he wanted to teach the guy a lesson. So what did he do? He used his Jewish head. He pulls out his wallet. He opens it up, and he takes out a $100 bill. Okay? So he says to the guy, okay, $50, fine, I'll give you the $50. So he says, but I only have 100. You have change? And the guy's like, yeah, sure, no problem. Give me change, you know. So the guy's, you know, going to, you know, find a $50 bill to give him change. In the meantime, the Jew says, I dropped the $100 bill. Oh, no. So he says, just a second, let me find it. So the Jew's like rummaging around to try to find the bill that he dropped, the bill that he dropped. He says, I can't find it. It's dark in here. So he goes, okay, I'll turn on the light. You know, turn the light in the car. But he says, I still can't find it. You know, probably under the seat, but it's dark. I can't see anything. So he says to the guy, you know what? I'll tell you, let me just go into my house right here. I'll run in. I'll get a flashlight. And I'll be able to look under the seat. It's probably just under the seat. I just can't see because it's too dark under there. So the guy says, okay, fine, go. So then he takes his bag, whatever, and he goes out and goes into his house. So meanwhile, the guy's like saying, hey, what am I, a fool? He dropped a $100 bill in my back seat somewhere, right? He owes me $50, right? Why should I give him change for the 100? Hell, I'll drive off. I'll give him that for $50. So he does that, starts the car, and drives off, you know, $100. Anyways, he gets home, and peace and quiet, over the back seat, looks around, $100, can't find $100. He goes, oh yeah, it really must be under the seat. He's looking under the seat, and he can't find it. He's looking around, a flashlight can't find him. He goes, oh, I guess I'll wait until the morning, the daylight. Anyway, daylight comes, he's looking around, the whole car tears apart, cannot find a $100 bill. Why couldn't he find a $100 bill? Because the dude didn't drop any $100 bill, he pretended. He knew, he took advantage of the bad midos of the goy. He knew the goy was going to drive off, you know, thinking he has a $100 bill in his car, when he really didn't. And he would get off without having to pay him the extra $25. He didn't pay him anything in the end. So I said Yid asked the shy laughter whether it was proper, was okay if he did that. On the one hand, he did get a ride for free, which is not right. On the other hand, the goy, which is why we're bringing this story, he with his own bad midos caused his own nezik, right? Had he not drove and driven away to steal the extra, you know, get the extra $50, it wouldn't happen, right? The Jew would have had to pay the 50. But because of his bad midos, and he wanted to steal, so right after, he paid for it himself. Same thing, like we're saying, you know, we speak a lashon hara, this start with our own hands, we're ruining all the tshuva that we're doing. This brings to mind another story. There was once, this time a yid, he used to drive a cement truck. Okay? So, he was a guy, a big, tough guy, and very, rough temperament, let's say. Always angry and bitter at people. You know, if you get in his way, oy vavoy, he screams his head off at you. And the worst thing is, the thing that bothered the most, and people knew to stay away from, was you never park in his parking spot. That, like, or near his parking spot. Every two or three parking spaces away from his truck, also you can't park in, because he has to be able to easily pull in with his truck. So if anybody dares park anywhere near his parking spot, oh boy. So one day, he comes back from a hard day of work with a cement truck, comes to his house, he lived in a building, so underneath the building is parking space. So wouldn't you know it, he's tired, he's exhausted, he's cranky, pulls up to his building, and right there, not next to it, but right there, smack in his parking space, was a brand new car, just out of the car lot. Brand new car, sitting there in his parking spot. Oh, that's it. In his parking spot. Mela, next to me, isn't it? She says, that's it. I'm going to teach this guy a lesson. So he backs up his car, gets the cement going, puts out the pipe right next to the car. He covers the entire car with cement. Whole car in cement. So he taught this guy a lesson. Ha. Anyways, he pulls, parks elsewhere, and he's proud of himself, you know, got that guy. And he walks upstairs to his house. Anyways, he comes to his house, knocks on his door, whatever, and no answer. He says, that's strange. It sounds very quiet in there, you know, in my house. So he opens the door, and opens up, and it's dark. And he says, that's very strange. I mean, people, my wife, kids, they should be home now, you know. Why is it dark in here? So he starts walking in a little bit, reach for the lights. All of a sudden, the lights go on. Surprise! Happy birthday! You know? It's his birthday. He says, oh, I forgot it's my birthday. Happy birthday. Singing that part. Anyways, during the festivities, his wife says, and for your birthday gift, my dear husband, pulls out of her purse a set of car keys. A brand new car, which I'm sure you saw parked in your parking spot downstairs. Here are the keys to your car. Yep. So, once again, here's a person, through his own bad midos, destroying destroyed his own car. The good taxi driver lost his money, right, through his bad meter. So once again, natashivenu reka milfanecha, Hashem, you know, we realize with our own hands, here are destroying all the tefillahs, all the truth. I think there's a hint in this week's Sedra, after all, this Parsha Shavuot here. So in Hazinu, towards the end of the Sedra, the pasuk states, "Vayomer aleihem simu levavchem lechol adrim asher nochi meid b'chem ayom." Pay attention, all that I am testifying to you today. And it says, "Asher tzuvem et b'nechem lishmor lasot." You should tell your children to keep the Torah. And then the next pasuk says, "Ki lo davar reik hu mikem, ki hu chayechem." It's not something which is reik, which is empty. Ki hu chayechem. It's your life. So the lashon over here is darshan by Chazal, ki lo davar reku mikem. So what does it mean? It's not empty mikem from you. So Chazal darshan out that The Torah is not empty. But if it's you find that it's empty, then mikem. Kilo reku mikem. Because if you find it reik, then it's mikem, it's you. Nothing wrong with the Torah. It's you. Agav's a cute vor that they say that the Nesivas Olam brings down. There's a chazal that eino dome mi shalomed pirko mea pamim lemi shalomed pirko mea pamim echad. You can't compare somebody who learned the sugya 100 times to someone who learned it 101 times. That one time extra is a world of a difference. So he darshens with this pasuk that he, which also reminds me of a story, or we say the pshat, the Gra. Once he met an old friend of his, the Gomi Vilna met an old friend of his that he grew up with in Cheder. And the guy became a whatever, Yid. So they're talking, he says to the Gra, he said, I don't understand. How is it we both grew up together, same Cheder, same learning, same yeshiva, and here you're the Gra and I'm just a simple person? Like, what happened? So the Gra said, let me ask you a question. He said, are you familiar with this Gemara we just said? That you can't compare, the Gemara Chagiga, you can't compare somebody who learned Gemara 100 times and someone who learned 101 times. He said, do you know that Gemara? He said, of course I learned that Gemara, yeah. He said, tell me something. Do you believe that Gemara? You can't compare someone with 101, you can't compare like one extra time. Do you believe that, Chazal? She goes, of course. Well, I don't believe Chazal. Of course I believe Chazal. Chazal said it, it's true. He goes, there's a difference. He says, what do you mean? He goes, I didn't believe Chazal. I didn't believe it, so I tried it. Anyways, so they make a cute rush here. Lodavar reku, and if it's reik, mikam. The Torah is not empty. If you find it's empty, that you don't understand the Torah, then it's mikam. What's mikam in gematria? Mem, kaf, mem, is 100. Meaning, if it's reku, mikam. It's because you only learned it 100, and didn't learn it 101. Reku, mikam. I'll say another cute for the Chavis Das, the Rav Yaakov Milisa, he also similarly says that if you notice, Hazinu is written different than all the rest of the Torah. If you look in the Sefer Torah, it's written like in two columns. The Shiras Hazinu is in two columns. Okay, all the rest of the Torah is written straight, except for Azyashir, which is written like bricks, or like a wall. But this is the only one that's written in two columns. So a person might say, what's this empty space here in the middle? Well, some empty space, waste of parchment, you know. It's a Davar Reik. So he says, nah. If it's a Davar Reik, it's Mikam. Because you don't understand it. So there's all kinds of soydais and we don't understand Reik. It looks Reik. It's not Reik. It's Reik, it's Mikam. But I wanted to say, based on what we're saying, also, lo Davar Reik, we said, na al tashivenu Reika milfanecha. Hashem, don't send us away Reik. And we said, reik, what do you mean, empty, all the shuva? Reiku mikem, from you, very often, it's from you, like we said. You yourself are causing you to be sent away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom, reik, because of your Lashon Hara, your Machlokes, your Chil Hashem, Chas V'Shalom, etc. So in conclusion, we have to ask the obvious question, where does that leave us? Where does that leave us? I mean, okay, we try our best not to speak Lashon Hara or whatever. Where does that leave us? Like we said, one bit of Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara Echad, this is a Lashon Chazal, one Lashon Hara Doch at 100 Tshuvas. So what am I doing? I mean, where's my chance? Okay, Nachanami. Nal Tashivani Reikam Elfanech. You know, don't send me away empty. Of course I'm empty. Well, what hope do I have? So I was thinking based on something we learned in Musar Seder. From the Sefer of Levenstein. It's on the line we say in, I've been saying Rosh Hashanah again, Yom Kippur, in Musaf. Also a very difficult line. We say in the davening, Be'ein Melitz Yosher, Mul Magi Pesha. He says, Hashem, here we are, Ein Melitz Yosher. We don't have any defense attorney. Nobody to be Melitz Yosher for us. No one. Which is a terrible matzav, no lawyer. Imagine going to court without a lawyer to defend you. No defense. Mul magi pesha, against the satan who wants to, really give it to us. You did this, you did that. And what are we, where are we? Ein meili tzoshim. He says, we mean ein meili tzoshim. Nobody. We don't even have Rav Levi Yitzchak Miraditchev, the famous Sanigor Shel Yisrael. He was known that he always tried to find schus for Yisrael. Stories told that Levi Yitzchak used to, on Erev Yom Kippur, he used to go into the shul, and to check underneath all the benches. Look underneath all the benches. Of course, nothing was there. And then he would turn to Hashem and say, Ribono Shel Olam, look at this. I looked underneath all the benches in the shul. I didn't find one yid. Meaning, the goyim, you know, they have a holiday. What do? They eat and they drink and they're drunk and they're lying under the benches. They're all over the place. Here we have a mitzvah to eat and drink on the Erev Yom Kippur. And look, Hashem, not one yid under the bench. Sani Gorsha Yisrael. They say that nowadays, you know, unfortunately, that's of this Makas Medina, if you want to call it, you know, telephones with the cell phones, you know, in shuls, and people are talking, not here, of course, but in certain places, you know, they talk on the phone and in the middle of davening. And so what would Rabbi Levi Yitzchak say about that? You know, Sani Gorsha Yisrael. So he would stop and turn to Hashem and say, Ribono Shel Olam, look at these, Yidden. They make a shul in the middle of a taxi stand. Which also brings to mind the Yehuda Yosefi Shlita. He once saw a yid in the middle of davening, and surely he saw his telephone. In the middle of davening, you know, he's there talking. So he got him angry. He goes up to the guy, and he says, tell me something. I saw you were on the phone before. Who was that, the prime minister? The Rosh Memshalah, you know? And he's like, no. Says, oh, I thought it was the prime minister. Well, was it maybe one of the ministers in the government or whatever? And he says, no. So he says, so who was it then? He says, lo chashuv, not important. He says, it wasn't important. And more important than the Ribono Shel Olam? You're on shul on the phone. Where is it? You're on the phone with not important, right? That not important person, even Hashem's even less important. Anyways, so Sanigor Shisha, we have no Sanigor, right? The Ain Melitz Yosher, Mulmagi Pesha. So what do we say? Tagi Liyakod of Archoku Mishpat, Sadkein of Amishpat, Amelech Amishpat. And we ask Hashem, Sadkein of Amishpat, give us a good Mishpat. Give us Sadkein of Amishpat. So what's going on over here? It's a stira. First we're saying we have nothing, we have no Melitz Yosher, we are not. And then we turn into Hashem and we say, Sadkein of Amishpat, give us a good Mishpat. But how can you admit we have nothing to say? We have no Melitz Yosher, nobody to say anything good about us. And yet we're asking. So there's a great vort, before we get on to the main point, but it's a great vort. I think Rav Chaim Kanievsky said it, if I remember. It says like this, there's a din that Legabe with a Beis Din, right? The Beis Din, a Sanhedrin, right, is judging a case. So the halacha is that you go after the rov. Okay, they hear the case, they vote amongst themselves, the dayanim, and they go after the majority. Okay, majority said he's good, he's, you know, chayav, he's chayav, if he's zakai, he's zakai, fine. So what happens if everybody says that he is, he's chayav, okay, but one guy says he's zakai, he's clean. So, for sure, you go after the majority, everybody except one says he's clean, of course he's guilty. But what happens if everybody says he's guilty? Then the halacha is, then he goes clean. He goes off free. Okay, if they all say, every single dayan says that he is guilty, then he's innocent. Okay, the pasha pshat is, the reason is because it something looks fishy over here. Right? Not one person can find a schlis. It looks fishy, so we let him off. Okay, but that's l'maisa of the yidah. So based on that, he explains this what we're saying in tefillah. Right? The Ein Melitz Yosher. Well, we have no Melitz Yosher, nobody, no Schuyos. So, it's a Kedem Amishpa. Everybody's against us, we have nobody for us. So he said, if everybody's cool, Ochayev, then he goes Akar. So, Melitz, we can ask a Kedem Amishpa. But the Maram Mibirjan, he says, what Schus do we have? Like we said, Ein Melitz Yosher, when we're talking about tonight, you know, our Lashon Hara, Docha Me'etshuvas, etc. And we said, well, what hope do we have? You know, what's... So the Maram Mishan says we have one hope. We have one schus. And that is that we are... This, our schus is that we are Mekayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah without question, even though a lot of the Torah are things that we don't understand. As it says, Ve'im Melis Yosher Mu Magi Pesha Tagil Li'akod Varchok Mishpat, and then Sadkeinu Mishpat. meaning that we keep the chukim and the mishpatim. Mishpatim, things we more or less understand, even though we don't understand them all 100%. But some idea, but then we have all these chukim. Basavachalav, shatnez, whatever, all these things. Lulav and Esrog even, I don't know, you know, just imagine somebody never saw Lulav and Esrog before, Goy or whatever, comes and sees with these things, shaking these lemon and this tree and back and forth. I mean, what's going on over here? Or these black boxes on our heads. Yet we do it. Why? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu said to do it, right? He said, we understand it, we don't understand it. But why we do it? Because Ribbono Shel Olam, we don't understand, but you told us to do it, we'll do it. So that's a tremendous chus, right? Of course, Baruch Hu says, I'm adding this, perhaps on my own, that Mida Keneged Mida, therefore. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, look, these people are, you know, doing things that they don't understand. They're just doing it for me. So I'm going to do things which are not so understandable. And I'll say, I'll give them a good mishpah. Right? Why? Mida Keneged Mida. They do such things which they don't understand, so I'll do something which is, so to speak, not so understandable. Right? Because I act Mida Keneged Mida. So that's something that we can do these days. We don't have to mitzvah, we don't have to give up hope. We speak Lashon Hara, Docha, okay. But we have at least what the Maram Yibarjan says. At least that. Right? Then we can, if we're mechazak ourselves in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs, in the chukim, mishpatim, but specifically all these, most of the mitzvahs we don't really understand. We're mechazak and we do them with all our might, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Bezrat Hashem, won't send us away empty. They'll say, look, they're doing without understanding. I'll give them a good mishpat. Bezrat Hashem, we should all be zocha to this great mishpat. And the nichtav and echtam finally have a gmar chesima tova on this Yom Kippur in the Book of Life of Tzadikim. So we all enjoy the coming year of tremendous bracha, bein beruchnius, bein beruch gashmius, and see the Bias Gol Tzedek, b'mehira v'yameinu.
Amen. Amen.